We live, we love, we serve. Before I read this passage today, I got to confess something. You know, my friends who know me, I take being a theologian seriously, and sometimes I mess with scriptures that some of my friends think shouldn't be messed with. But this scripture is a very familiar one. But for some reason, there's an aspect of this scripture that I tried not to deal with this morning, but every time I try to do something else, this thing keeps pulling me back. So I'm interested to see what God is going to do this morning with this scripture, because it keeps pulling me back to it. And so that means that somebody here needs to hear this word today. And so, you know, for those of you visiting, if you don't hit, come back next week. We're going to have a word for you. In the Gospel of John, the 11th chapter, it is probably the most famous healing or demonstration of Jesus' power in the New Testament. It is the raising of Lazarus. But there's a particular portion of this story that I want to read this morning. So in John 11, let me tell you, I've been saying this for 20 years, but I love hearing babies in the sanctuary, right? As long as they don't try to be louder than me, I'm fine with them. But babies in the sanctuary are a sign that God still trusts us with the future. And I take that seriously. John 11, beginning at verse 41. 41 through 43. Well, let's start at actually 40. I didn't tell him this, but 40. John 11, 40 through 43. Be good. Verse 40. We good with that, Ian? Verse 40. I changed it up. John 11, beginning at verse 40, and it reads like this. Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked up toward heaven and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." Come on, beloved, let's pray. God, we are grateful today. We are thankful today, oh God. God, we're just glad to be in the number today. God, some of us who grew up in church, we heard people say they were glad to be in the number and didn't understand it. But God, the more we kept on living, the more we realized how good it is to be alive. So we are glad to be in the number this morning. We ask, oh God, that you would open our hearts and our minds that we might be receptive to your word. God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. Have your way. Have your way. This is our prayer. In your name we pray. Amen. I want to read that again. But before I read that, there's something I'm really grateful about this congregation. I've been privileged to serve. And I say it, this is a thinking congregation. I say that because sometimes we come to church to be entertained, which is tragic. But I love the fact that this is a congregation that in many ways has been cultivated to think. I don't believe you come to church and check your brain at the door. I come to church and no matter where I go, where I'm not preaching, I want to be challenged to open my mind, to think through what God is saying through scripture, through it. This is not about spoon feeding. And the tragedy is we're at a cultural moment where thinking is not popular. We don't like having to think through things anymore. And so I got a bone to pick with our cultural moment right now. But it's real that everything is not always just about imaging and pictures and videos. Sometimes we got to use the mind that God gave us. And not just in this context, but in many other spaces. So let me read this again. John 11:40-43. Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." Amen? Amen? Amen. Put your hands together and give the Lord a hand clap of praise. This sermon is what I would call an aspirational sermon. This sermon, I hope when you hear it, it will cause you to want to aspire to a particular place. And that particular place that I hope you seek to aspire to is a place of profound confidence in God. I want you to have profound confidence in God. I know that as believers, we don't begin our journey with God with profound confidence. Confidence grows over time. And confidence in God comes not only with time, but with experience with God. That's what ought to happen. I'm not saying it always happens, because for some of us, building God confidence is sometimes difficult. And what makes building God confidence difficult at times is because sometimes the nature of the circumstances we face. I wish that our God confidence was not situational. It's amazing how we can have God confidence for easy or simple things, but then for the complicated things that we face in life, we're not always as confident. And for me, I want our confidence to be just as strong with what we call the simple things of this journey and the complicated things of this journey. But the confidence with the complicated things ought to come because of our experience with God. All of us in here today have experiences with God, and those experiences are not just so that we can testify to others about what God has done. Those experiences are also designed to strengthen our faith and build our confidence. In other words, if I've seen myself come through a particular situation before in my journey, and I know that God has been guiding me through that space, through that difficulty, and then I believe that God is always with me, that means then that my confidence should increase in those moments that I've come through difficult times in my life, knowing that God was with me. I hope this makes sense this morning. And so the idea along this journey is that as I grow and experience life and experience some of life's challenges, that those challenges I experience in my presence are not faced without the benefit of experience with God. Man, I hope you get this morning. In other words, when I'm in a situation right now that is difficult, that seems overwhelming, what I recall to my memory is that this is not the first time I've been in this kind of situation. And because it is not the first time, instead of approaching it emotionally like it's my first time, I approach it reflectively, thinking about the prior moments that God has kept me, sustained me, and delivered me. Is anybody in here today who can say
that they are growing because of their encounter. Okay, let me put it this way. I got to say it. It's my difficult days that strengthen me differently. It's those moments where I feel overwhelmed and absolutely unable to face what I am in that pushes me back to places where I've had prior feelings and I've seen God move in ways that I can only say that if it had not been for God in that moment, in that season, I would not have made it where I am right now. And here's the key, that my testimony and my worship and my praise should increase with the experiences that I have, because again, the more experience, the more confidence. I know I got a few folk in here today who can testify that I got some experiences of when God, and can I add this, could nobody but God do what I came through in that season. That the only way I can make sense that I'm still here in spite of everything is because only God. Oh my God. Only God. Look at somebody and tell them, only God. You don't even understand. Only God. I'm here today. I'm lifting up these holy hands. I'm clapping these hands. I'm even testifying because it was the Lord who navigated me through that dark night. It was the Lord who escorted me through that valley. It was the Lord who pulled me out of that muck and mire. It was the Lord who sustained my life. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. Jesus, I gotta use this big phrase. Every night, I about use it 3 times in 20 years. This is gonna be my 4th time. And here it is. My professor, my son knows his professor. I believe he took him at Morehouse, Dr. Parker. He said that Jesus, now look up this word because I ain't got time to define it. But here it is. He said, Jesus is, he represents the ontological fulfillment of divine possibility. Okay, that sounded big, right? What he was saying is that Jesus isn't just the Savior because of his salvific power. Jesus is the Savior because he shows us possibilities. Oh, gosh. Because Jesus' confidence in us is so great that Jesus can look at his misfits, motley crew of disciples. I'm talking about Peter, James, and John. I'm talking about Matthew, all those brothers and some, and the sisters who traveled with them, all those people with their issues, their struggles, Cecilia, their hurts, their hang-ups, their habits, with all that stuff. And watch this. And then he can say greater things. Oh, God, wait a minute. See, I know we don't hear enough people preach about that part because we're still afraid of the possibility that flows through us. But when Jesus can look at us in the midst of our weariness, our flaws, our faults, and our failures and say greater things, oh, God, that means that there is a divine expectation that what Jesus does is give us the possibility of what can happen for those who walk connected to God and confident in God. Oh, man. Okay, okay. So that means that what Jesus demonstrates, Mary, is always aspirational. It points to what is possible with us. You got to get that. You see, I got to believe that. That's what galvanizes me as a believer, that what I see, what I read is possible. In fact, you don't have to go far. There are things that human beings can accomplish today that could have never been thought of in the first century in Galilee. There are things we can do now. All of us that were not conceivable. And I don't know what Jesus saw, but Jesus saw the movement of time and the progress of human ingenuity and the enhancement of human possibility. And with that faith in human beings for the future, he was able to say, say, if you're impressed by what I do, here's the real blowout. Greater things than this you will be able to do. But a lot of that, beloved, is not necessarily conditional, but there is a condition, and that condition is confidence in God. Faith in God. That's why that verse 40, when Jesus addresses one of Lazarus' sisters, he said, I told you that if you believe, that you would see the glory of God. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. Now, I know someone here may be thinking, well, Pastor, are you saying that, you know, we're going to raise people from the dead? Pump the brakes for a moment. Because I don't even want to touch that moment of Lazarus walking out. I want you to think about the moments prior to Lazarus walking out. Because it's the prior moments that really set the stage for human possibility. Oh gosh, you got to get this today. It's the moments prior to Lazarus running out that set the stage. Here it is. And I'm going to give you this story just in brief, not all the details. Jesus is good friends with Lazarus. That's his boy. That's one of his boys. He's cool with Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha. He was often known to spend time with them. And so he got word that his friend, his boy Lazarus, was sick. He was dying. Jesus is like, he's not in a hurry to go. He tells his disciples he's just sleeping. The disciples are conflicted. They're like, well, we don't need to go. If he's sleeping, he'll wake up. Jesus is like, no, he gonna die. But he don't rush to get to help Lazarus. And then it's baffling, because the belief is he has the power to heal Lazarus, but he doesn't move immediately. He doesn't go immediately. And so he actually waits, and it's in the waiting that Lazarus dies. Now, this is the deep part, because when he finally does get to Bethany, and there's a whole crowd of folk crying and mourning with Mary and Martha, because it's been now 4 days since Lazarus has died, and one of the sisters says to Jesus, he said, listen, teacher, if you had been here, we would not be grieving right now. If you had been here, my brother would have lived. That must have felt hard to hear from Jesus, right? If you had been here, my brother would still be alive. This is what often happens in the face of grief and loss. We begin to think of scenarios that could have prevented the grief and the loss, and we start thinking of all the ways things could have happened after the fact that could have made the thing that causes us to grieve different. I know I'm not the only one who's been there. That you experienced that kind of heartache and heartbreak, you often, after the moment has passed, you reflect about how it could have been different. That's all she was doing. I don't even take it personally for Jesus. I don't feel mad, because she was saying and doing what most of us would have said and done in that moment. If you had been here, we watched you, Jesus, heal folk you didn't even know, but your boy, you ain't do nothing for. If you had been here, he would still be alive. That feeling, that grief, that frustration is palpable when you read it in the story. And Jesus says, didn't I tell you? Oh God. That if you believe, that you would see the glory of God. Now, this is the deep thing in TNT. I'll do this, but for those of you who went through the Gospel of John with me, you know that in the Gospel of John, that sin is defined very specifically in John's Gospel. This is the only one. In John's Gospel, sin is defined by Jesus is the inability to believe that he was sent by God. That's sin in John. In John, sin is not believing that Jesus was sent by God. It's the only gospel you see that, where sin is defined by Jesus in that day as not believing that he was sent by God. This is why in John's gospel, there's so much of a premium placed on the capacity for people to believe that he was sent by God. That all the things he did was because he was sent by God. The power moving through him was because he was sent by God. My God, it is scary when people run and God didn't tell them to run, and people think they were sent and God didn't send them nowhere. But Jesus said that when you believe I am sent by God, you will see the glory of God made manifest in your presence. That's what he says. And this is the aspirational part. I'm just saying this, and some of y'all might leave here a little confused and mad today. That's okay. Listen to these words. Father, I thank you for having heard me, past tense. I knew that, watch this, that you always hear me. Pause. Y'all missing this. See, this is before anything happens. I ain't going to touch Lazarus coming out that tomb today. But I want you to just look at Jesus's words and what is perceived as a public prayer. In this prayer, there is nothing that seems, well, uncertain. There's no uncertainty. There's no words of doubt. There are no words of pop, just what could happen. He doesn't say, Lord, well, he doesn't say, Father, I thank you for the times you heard me. Father, I thank you for having heard me. And just in case you thought it was situational, he said, I knew that you always hear me. Wait a minute. Thank you for having heard me. I knew, past tense, that you always hear me. Oh, God, I want to hear. Thank you for having heard me. In other words, he has an experience with God where he knows that God hears him. Now, wait a minute. Okay, hold on. And he said, I knew, past, that you always, that's anticipation. I knew that you always hear me. That's a strange sentence. But he says that that experience helps me understand that you always hear me. Because the relationship that we have is of such is that I can doubt some of these disciples, and I can doubt some of the folk around me, and I can doubt even some of my family members. I can doubt some of my friends. But the one thing I will never doubt is whether your ears are attuned to me. I thank you for all the times you heard me. Now, wait a minute. Because there's some people who could only say this part, but Jesus don't say it. Watch what some of us can say. I thank you for all the times you rescued me. I thank you for all the times you delivered me. I thank you for all the times you healed me. But he doesn't talk about what was done. He talks about the fact that God just heard him. Oh, God. Wait a minute. Wait. You mean that somehow being confident that God hears you means that you know your prayers are not in vain. You know that God hears you. And I think some of us don't believe that because we keep repeating the same thing to God as though God cannot. The same thing. If you know God hears you, then God doesn't need to hear you repeat what you know God heard. Oh my God. But then on the same note, he's giving gratitude for being heard without one thing being done. But the gratitude for being heard is based on what was done. Oh, gosh. What are you saying, Pastor? Here's the aspiration. I want to approach God with confidence. I don't want to come before God with doubt in my mouth, with hesitation in my words. I want to stand before God confidently because of the experience. You sat here, you clapped your hands, you said that God had done things for you. I'm talking about y'all. And you said that God had made ways, and that if it had not been for God, you don't know where you would be. Well, let that build your confidence so it changes the nature of the words you speak to God. You can't come to God with doubt when you've seen God deliver time and time and time and time again. I want to get to a place where you see, our elders would say it in church, and we would say it and repeat it, but it's a powerful thing to say. God, if you never do another thing, hey, you've already done more than enough. Do you know what you mean when you say that? You're saying, God, I don't need another manifestation of your presence in my life. You've done more than enough. And when I look back over my life, I can see your movements. Oh, God. Thank you for hearing me. Boy, I'm about to be done. I'm done. I'm serious. When you get to the Jesus point in this text, because that's the aspiration. Why have experience with no growth? Your prayers should change over time because of your experience with God. You shouldn't still be praying the same way. If you can say God has done more than enough, oh God, something should change. And look at Jesus' prayer. Father, thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But now watch the shift. But I'm speaking like this for the folk around me so they can know you sent me. Oh God, pause. And I'm be done. I ain't got resolution in this sermon. I'm just gonna give you the pieces. That means, Pastor Trey, that in this prayer, there are three audiences in this moment. Audience number one, the people around. You see, because I want your prayer life to get to a point where people benefit from the audacity of your words. And I really like when the people who benefit from my audacious prayer words are also people who see me go through. Oh man, wait a minute. Because if they've seen me go through and they see my audacious prayer, I didn't say perfect vocabulary. I didn't say you got everything right. I didn't say your syntax was in order. I didn't say you were grammatically correct. I said when they hear the audacity, because grandma didn't always have the right syntax or grammar, but there was something audacious about her proclamation. I said the audacity of your words. When people see you go through and they hear your audaciousness, something inside of them should be triggered to say, wait a minute, if she can speak so boldly about God after what I've seen her go through, there's no reason that I should be in this moment and not inspired to be just as audacious. Oh yes, I get it now. I didn't always get it coming up in church. I didn't get it. I ain't saying, I'm just gonna tell you, there was something about some of the old church moments that now starting to click with me. I understand why some of those churches, when I started pastoring in Durham, North Carolina, this small little church, Zion Temple, about 25, 30 people, but them deacons would get up at the beginning of service every time, the Deacon King, and they would have testimony service, oh God, and they would have devotional service. And they would ask, is there anybody who got a testimony to share? I get it now, because there were people who would get up there. I knew what they were going through. They would say, God, I thank you. And they would say simple things. See, you're looking for big stuff. God, you thank me. Thank you for giving me a job and a check. Thank you for paying my bills. Watch how they did it. Lord, I thank you that you woke me up this morning. And God, I thank you that you started me on my way. God, I thank you that last night wasn't my last night. God, I thank you. Is there anybody in here today who still got a testimony in your belly? Look at somebody and tell them, he's still giving me reasons to testify. Oh, God. Oh, God. When I testify, it ain't even about me. It's that you can see the goodness of God moving through me and in my life. Audience number one are the people who hear your audacious prayers, testimony, and proclamation. Audience number two, wait a minute, and two and three go hand in hand. I'm just going to leave it here and stop today and let you figure the rest of this out, because I'm still wrestling. Two and three are connected. Audience two is God. Audience three is Lazarus. Oh, God, you missed that. One, the people. That's who hears. Two, God. And three, the thing you thought was dead. I'm coming back to that in a second. But two and three are connected. Wait a minute. Because he said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew you always hear me. And then he said, but this is for those who are around. What? And then said, and he, with a loud voice. Wait a minute. It's right here. He said, when he said that, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Wait a minute. When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Now, let me talk about the boldness for a second. He ain't saying nothing yet. He ain't speak no words yet. He didn't speak no words over Lazarus or the God yet. But before he did speak, watch the move Jesus makes. He ain't saying nothing to God yet. You know, he said, Father, I know you always hear me. Before he said anything, watch how he tipped his hat to the moment. He said, I need some of y'all to roll that stone away first. Wait a minute. It's in this story. Before he speaks what may seem impossible, he removes the barrier to possibility. Wait a minute. He said, roll the stone away. The logical thing is to remind him what's going. Somebody said, but teacher, he's been in there 4 days already. He's already decomposing and stinking. Oh, God. Can I pause for a second and get real churchy? I like that God can show up in my stinky mess. Oh, God. I'm glad God can show up, but it don't even smell right and starts moving in my life. He said, move the stone. They got to be thinking, wait a minute. The stench is going to come out. He's been dead 4 days. Why is he asking us to mold away the stone? Man, I'm trying to get out of here today. But you see, I've had God ask me to do some strange things, Arva. And I didn't understand why God was asking me to do it. It's because I didn't see where God was going with it. Oh, God. No, you ain't got that yet. You ever had God tell you to do some things that don't make sense? And part of the reason it don't make sense is because you don't have all the information. Oh, wait a minute. You still didn't catch that. I didn't say that right. He tells them to roll the stone away because he anticipates what's about to happen. And he don't want any barriers blocking what needs to come out. They only thinking about the stench coming out. They ain't thinking about Lazarus coming out. He now says, watch this. He cries with a loud voice. But that second audience is God. It is God. Because he knows God always hears him. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. This is where I want to get, beloved. This is the point of this word. I want to move in such confidence. Such confidence that God is moved by my confidence. Oh, come on, beloved. You gotta wait a minute. Because at no point does Jesus say, God, bring him out. Wait a minute. There's no negotiating around possibility. God, if you see fit, I want you to help my friend Lazarus. No. He begins to speak like someone who knows that they're heard by God. And move God by the... You ain't got it yet. You ain't got it yet. I need some of y'all in here. When you come into these seasons of crisis, I need you to speak so confidently, so boldly, and so audaciously that the God who hears you becomes the God who answers you. Oh God, see, I know this is possible. If in my mouth is the power of life and death, I'm gonna exercise the power in my mouth and begin to speak into the situation that may seemingly be crippling me. Look at your neighbor and tell him, neighbor, I need you to confidently, courageously, audaciously open your mouth and begin to declare what needs to be in your life. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You sitting around here halfway praying, halfway talking. You seen God work. And if you've seen God work, you can stand on that word and begin to speak. Come on, open your mouth. Open your mouth. You're going through right now. Open your mouth. You heard it right now. Open your mouth. You're struggling right now. Open. But hear this. Hear this. Just in case you having a hard time, I need you to summon the power from your previous breakthroughs. Wait a minute. I need you to summon the power from your previous breakthrough. You started by saying you've seen God work in your life, that if it had not been for God, you don't know where you would be. Summon the power from your past breakthrough, from your past deliverance, from the ways God already made. Speak, 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 declare, decree, it shall be, it will be. And what? When the second audience hears your proclamation, then the third audience comes alive. You missed that. Oh God, when you speak and God is triggered by your word, and then God triggers the thing that you thought was dead, That's when the power of God. Can I tell you this? It looks crazy to the uninitiated when they hear you speaking to dead places. When they hear you speaking to dead things. But for those of us who know what God can do, we stand there with you in solemn solidarity, declaring with you that it shall come to pass. Speak it. Speak it. Speak it. Declare it. Declare it. Don't be afraid. Say it confidently. Say it boldly. Say it audaciously. Like you got an experience with God. Is there anybody in here today? Look at your neighbor and tell a neighbor, God's done too much for me not to speak boldly. Look at somebody and tell a neighbor, there's some people that when they hear you, will call you conceited, will call you cocky, will say you're arrogant, but you look them in the face and tell them, I see what God can do. That's why I can proclaim what shall be. Is there anybody here? Is there anybody here who can testify that God will hear you when you speak boldly, audaciously, confidently? God will. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Come in, some of y'all in here been waiting on God to move, but God been waiting for you to open your mouth. You want to see God do something you've never seen, but you ain't speaking in a way that you've never spoken yet. I need you to speak audaciously. Sit right there. Sit right there with it. Because I got to help somebody here. You closer right now than you ever been. And it seems like the closer you are, the more silent you become. The closer you are, the quieter you become. You are close. You are right at the edge of your greatest breakthrough, but you're afraid to speak and open your mouth and declare what shall be. Here, right now, no, 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 no. I want you right now. I want you to call, to summon the power from your past breakthroughs. I want you to summon it. You came through some stuff that still got people baffled. Summon that power and use that memory to inspire your words today. You can't want to see something but afraid to put it in the atmosphere. You can't want to see something and afraid to put it in the universe. I'm telling you, it was a season, saints. Their language was strange. They would get around to pray, Rochelle. And they would say something. It's me. It's me, oh Lord. Standing the knee. I mean, they were announcing their presence before God. You didn't even know you had the secret weapon all this time. You ain't been using your greatest power all this time. The closer you got, the quieter you became. And forgot the thing that God's been waiting for. How many times will I bring her out before she changes her tone when she talks? How many times will I see him through before he changes the nature of his proclamation? You can't have experienced God move in your life and the sound of your words are the same. No. God, I summon the power that brought me out last time. I summon it. I declare it to move. What am I trying to say? God, thank you. I get it now. Thank you. Watch this. For having heard me. Because my experience tells me you always hear me. I may not like your timing. My son and I were talking about last night. He hit me with a real churchy line. I may not, God, like your timing, because sometimes I know you hear me, but I wish you move in my timing. But you see, them same seasoned saints, many of them were not theologians, were not preachers, they were not Bible scholars, but they had a way, Serena, of making it plain. He may not come when you want him, but he's always. Is anybody here who can testify to that? God may not come when I want him to come, but God has always been on time. Can I add this to it? God's never failed me yet. Never failed me yet. Never failed me yet. That's why now I can speak differently in the midst of my crisis, to the point that I can speak what I know before I speak what I want to see. Oh God, right there. I can speak what I know before I speak what I want to see. What do you mean? God, thank you for having heard me. That's what I know. For having always heard me. That's what I know. Before I speak anything, I will speak what I know before I speak what I want to see. Boldly. Courageously. Audaciously. I don't know. Somebody needed to hear this today. Don't come to these moments with hesitation in your speech, with uncertainty in your mouth, with doubt in your spirit. I told you, my granddaughter keeps teaching me things. And what she teaches me is what I need to learn with God. And I said this a few weeks ago, I think, but I love watching her jump into her father's arm. And you know what's deep about it? When she jumps sometimes off the kitchen counter, give me a heart attack. Can I show you how my 2.5-year-old teaches me about trust and faith? Watch this. She doesn't say, "Daddy, you gonna catch me?" She knows that when she goes like this, he will go like this. All I'm telling you, you claim you walk in faith, but you ain't went like this yet. You claim you trust, but you ain't went like this yet. You claim you believe, but you ain't went like this yet. I need you to just and believe that God will catch you. Unequivocally believe that. Come on, let's go to God. God, we thank you so much. We thank you, God, for these moments, for this time, for reminding us, oh God, that you're going to be God. And we know you're going to be God because you've been God. But God, maybe it's graduation season for some of us. Maybe it's time for us to grow today. We've seen you do so much. We want our confidence to grow, God, now. We've seen you do so much that we want our language to match what you've done. We've got history. We have a testimony. No, God, we have testimonies, oh God. We know. And now, oh God, help our words to grow up so that, oh God, we don't repeat the same words, or so that we don't keep limping along in fear and trembling and doubt. We've seen you do too much to not grow up in our faith and our belief and our confidence. So God, help us to shift how we even come to you. It's like we learned from Jesus, we don't come to you hoping. We come to you acknowledging what you've already done. And what you've already done gives us confidence for this current moment. God, strengthen my sister. Strengthen my brother. Strengthen my family. Strengthen the loved ones. Strengthen this community, oh God, that we truly can begin to shift this world through the audaciousness of our words. Our words, oh God. Our words, oh God. Our words will sound like we've come out of some things. Our words will begin to reflect that we've seen you bring us through some things. Our words will start to mature. We love you, God. We honor you, God. It's in your name we pray. We say amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. If you feel comfortable, give somebody a hug and tell them that you love them today.